The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Donald Trump and his followers have adopted the words of the songwriter, "Do you believe me or your lying eyes? We can't sweep what happened under the rug. The American people deserve answers. So I come before you this evening, not as a Democrat, but as an American who swore an oath to defend the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't protect just Democrats or just Republicans. It protects all of us, we the people. And this scheme was an attempt to undermine the will of the people."
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So a big night last night. I don't know if you caught any of that or not. The January 6th hearings kicked off prime time. American people deserve answers. That's House Committee Chair Representative Benny Thompson said that yesterday at the very first public and pronounced January 6th hearing. I don't know if you said, I'm tired of it. I'm not going to watch it. Maybe you're glued to the TV. I thought we could take a look at it today. Did you come away? First of all, you know, it was, you know, professionally produced. They played specific clips. It was highly edited. And it was somewhat partisan. I think you probably agree with that. You only got one side. Will we get more facts, more information? What are we going to see in the days ahead? Last night, the House Ad Hoc Committee, if you're not familiar with it, on the January 6th Capitol riot, they opened what are going to be a series of hearings. It's not just one and done. And it's going to last, from what I understand, a couple of weeks. Now, the committee's it's made up of all Democrats, right, with the exceptions of two Republicans, and one of those is Liz Cheney of Wyoming, and you know she does not like Donald Trump at all. Adam King, who's the last name? The guy from Illinois, Kinzinger, I think, was the other one that's on there, and both of them are vocal critics of President Donald Trump. So you don't have anybody who is, you know, on Team Trump or is really a true red Republican. So we'll see. It was an interesting composition that was up there. But what's at stake right now? What they're trying to get to the heart of, and ultimately, you know, you'll decide. We'll see what you take away from all this, is the role that Trump played in that riot. And what role? I mean, was there really an insurrection planned? Did Donald Trump foment this? And was he well aware of it? Representative Cheney said that in the coming hearings, there's going to be testimony that when the crowd started calling for Vice President Mike Pence, I should say then Vice President Mike Pence, they're actually calling him to be hung. You know, the president said, well, maybe Pence deserved that. It's no wonder, right? It's no wonder that the two haven't gotten along since he left the White House. I mean, Pence was Team Trump the whole way. I mean, he was his MVP, very solid, very quiet, very, you know, deliberate in his approach, very conservative. It kind of tempered a lot of what was going on with Trump during the initial run in the campaign. But, you know, I think Trump really made a mistake there. I think that was terrible. He should never have said that. But I think it was also Trump-esque, you know, playing to the crowd. I don't think he would have meant that literally. But if I was Vice President Trump, of course, it would bother me pretty deeply. But there's also the testimony that Trump gave no order to deploy the National Guard that day and made no effort to work with the Department of Justice to coordinate and deploy law enforcement assets. But Mike Pence did. Now a vice president giving orders to the military, that's unusual, unless the president is incapacitated. So the coverage on this is going to continue to bring forth information like this for you. There was a new video that I don't think a whole lot of people have seen before. And again, it's horrible to see this. You know, this is the United States of America. I hate seeing that type of video. Coverage was extensive. The only TV news organizations not to carry it live was Fox. That was it. They carried the normal programming. So you couldn't watch that unless you tuned into ABC or CBS or NBC or CNN or MSNBC or one of those other networks there. And that's going to be the case now for however long these hearings are going on. Whether or not people are going to watch them, that's another story. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where you are or how you feel about this. Is this behind you? Do you think that sentences have already been meted out, that we should move on? Is this something that America should dive into and really continue to explore in greater depth. We can talk about that. Dr. Paul Kengor is going to be joining me in just about a minute. And you can get into, I'll give you the number if you want to sound off today and join the conversation. It's 888-914-9149. I was thinking about it because I was watching this and I thought, you know, the economy's in a terrible place right now, right? I mean, the gas is ridiculous. There's shrinkage. We're seeing in grocery stores. Restaurants are suffering again. Food costs have gone up. Diesel's through the roof. And we go through all these things. There's a war going on. A lot of people are really concerned about some of these other things. Was the timing on this a little bit off? You know, are people as passionate about this as maybe they would have been if it happened a year earlier? I mean, this happened more than a year and a half ago. So there's a lot of water that's flowed under the bridge since then. You had Afghanistan, right? The withdrawal. You have inflation, gas prices. You've got the mishandling on the COVID crisis, right? You've got the crisis at the border. I mean, check, 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 check. You can go through the whole litany of these things. The two most important things right now, when President Biden took office, I think inflation was like 1.8%, somewhere in that range. Inflation's now at 8.6%. That was last month. Gas prices with a national average right now ticking above $5 a gallon. The economy's in a rough place. So we'll see how this plays out. Is it just partisan? If you're Democrat, you're going to say, yes, great. Boy, Trump's so evil. If you're a Republican or conservative on that side of the aisle, you're going to say, oh, who cares? This is, you know, this is old news. There's bigger things, bigger fish to fry. There's more important things to look at. Is this a play to keep Donald Trump from running? Is he going to be so bruised and bloodied by what they're going to show the American people that the chance of getting him reelected is off the table? There's a lot to talk about. Let's get Dr. Paul Kengor into the conversation. He's a professor of political science at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. Also, the author of his latest book, The Devil and Karl Marx, one of a number of great books that he puts forward. It's always good to talk with him. Doctor, thanks for making time again for us. Great to have you back.
Yeah, hey, Drew. Good to be back. Thanks.
Yeah, I'd love to get your take on, first, the timing of all this. And I haven't seen polls. I'm not quite what the ratings were last night. I probably should have checked that out before the broadcast. But, you know, what's the overall sentiment? Is the nation just as split over these hearings as they were before they went on? And give me your take on the timing of these things and what's being portrayed, how it's being presented.
Yeah, I mean, so most people don't care about it. And, you know, Republicans and conservatives see it as partisan. Liberals, and by liberals here, really, Drew, I mean kind of hardcore political liberals who really follow this stuff, right? Who, you know, who watch CNN every day, tune in to MSNBC every evening, subscribe to the New York Times. I mean, they're treating this as nothing short of Pearl Harbor, right? I mean, this is another 9/11, right, to them. In fact, I wrote a piece on this for the American Spectator a few days after January 6th originally happened, saying, you know, what happened here is bad. It's ridiculous. It should be condemned. It's outrageous. These people are Neanderthals, right? Said all kinds of stuff like that. And then I went through the different statements that we were hearing from people like Chuck Schumer and others, quite literally comparing it to 9/11, comparing it to Pearl Harbor. And even more liberal Republicans like Arnold Schwarzenegger, literally comparing it to Kristallnacht, the night of the broken glass. In Nazi Germany, right? Wow. And my whole point back then was, liberals, you don't need to add hyperbole to this here, right? I mean, where do you want to go with this? So you've got people on your side on this one. You're going to lose them very quickly if you start overplaying your hand here. Mm-hmm. But you could see from the beginning, Drew, that they wanted this to be political and they wanted to use it against Donald Trump. And so in regard to the timing, so part of this is to, and remember this happened right after January 6th too, they actually impeached Donald Trump when he was no longer in office.
But
impeachment is for a sitting president. What's going on here? That they didn't even at that point have enough information
to know if January 6th had been pre-planned by anyone to do an impeachment vote. But they were trying to rush it through before Donald Trump left office. I think it was January 18th or 20th, whatever it was. And so why are they doing that? Because they don't want Donald Trump to be able to run again. I mean, that's the main point here. But now that said, if Donald Trump were to suddenly come forward tomorrow and say, and he kind of alluded to this, Drew, right? You know, I'm going to be older in 2024. I don't really feel up to this. I don't think I really do want to run again. At that point, would Democrats back off on this? No, I don't think so, because right now, you know, they see this as an issue for November 2022. And if you go to Real Clear Politics right now, Republicans are estimated to take the House by at least 233 to 180 over the Democrats. 32 seats are a toss-up right now. This will probably be the biggest Republican landslide in the history of the House of Representatives. I mean, this will make 1994 look like nothing. And so for Democrats, they want to run on this. They want to run on abortion, overturning Roe v. Wade. They want to run on gun violence. And so that's sort of a troika of issues. This one is at the very top. So they really are using this politically. Now, you know, to try to be as fair as I can here, I will concede that they're looking for things to indict Donald Trump, right? They're doing an investigation that they hope will reveal that Trump was somehow involved and this was pre-planned. But if you're listening to me and you're a Democrat and you don't like Donald Trump, you've got to admit you know how political this is, right? I mean, this is very politically charged, and the fact that there's only two Republicans on that whole committee is really outrageous. And it's going to be seen as a partisan spectacle. And Lynn Cheney, I'm looking right now at MSNBC and CNN.com's two websites. Her picture is on the front. I mean, it's only a matter of time before they redo her image as one of those, like, Obama hope and change images, right? Turn her into, like, you know, Che Guevara, like, poster girl T-shirts.
Well, Cheney doesn't.
Runs for office, right?
She does. She doesn't like Trump at all. The other one, the representative from Illinois, same thing. I mean, Adam, so you've got a completely partisan series of people, sitting there on that bench. So it's completely frustrating. There's not another side to this. And I said yesterday, Doctor, I just want truth. Hey, if Donald Trump certainly orchestrated this behind the scenes, and if they have news of that and they've got facts and they've got information, please put it forward. And I'll champion that. I'll get behind that. We don't want to see this in our country. But
it's a double standard, right, Drew? It's a double standard. I remember doing your show. This would have been November 2020, maybe December 2020. I wrote a piece for the American Spectator back then. It went viral. It got like a million hits. It was our most clicked piece in like 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
And it was on a claim. You know, I live in Pennsylvania. You're a Pennsylvania native. That a massive number of votes came in. This is off the top of my head. There's like close to 100,000 votes, something like that. And 99.4% of them were for Joe Biden. Of that 100,000 batch, right? In fact, the title of the article was something like 99.4%, and that was revealed in a Pennsylvania Senate committee hearing that was run by Doug Mastriano, who's now running for governor of Pennsylvania. He got the Republican nomination, and I wrote at the time. You could see in that article my tone of desperation, where I'm simply saying, I just want to know if this is true. And could somebody in the media please report on it? And you had hearings being held by the Pennsylvania Senate, and no one was even reporting on this claim. I wanted to know if it was true. Is it accurate or not? And this is what frustrates people. You get stuff like that that's put out there, and the liberal media completely ignores it. And then you get something else like January 6th, and they turn it into another 9/11. Yeah. And one more thing. Yeah. Talk about timely. How amazing was it, Drew, that on the day that the January 6th committee hearings start,
a man shows up at the home of Justice Brett Kavanaugh, a Roman Catholic, who seems to be one of the, you know, the five votes, apparently, reportedly, for overturning Roe v. Wade and Casey v. Planned Parenthood. And he comes all the way from California to Washington, D.C., with guns and knives to assassinate and kill Judge Kavanaugh. And right now, and I've got CNN.com in front of me, and see, K-A-V-N-A, click, zero. Kavanaugh is not mentioned here anywhere, not once. Trump. Search. Trump is everywhere. In fact, they've got a thing here on Ginny Thomas, the wife of Clarence Thomas, and what a horrible, evil human being she is. There's nothing even here on what happened to Kavanaugh yesterday. And Charles Schumer had stood outside the Supreme Court a year ago and said, we're coming for you. And here, I've got this open, too. This is, and this is at Fox. This is one of the leads at Fox. The group Ruth Sent Us, which is a pro-choice group, they put this out on June 7th. Here it is. I've got it right in front of me. If you're in the D.C. metro area, join us. Our protests at Amy Coney Barrett's home moved the needle to this coverage. Falls Church is a people of praise stronghold. Drew, they're laying out her church. They're telling you, don't just go to her home, go to her church. And look at this. Barrett sends her seven kids to a people of praise school.
I know.
She attends church daily, it says in caps. This is amazing what they're doing. And you can't even find this
at
MSNBC or CNN.com.
Let me play some audio. Doctor, let me throw some audio of the protesters that are outside of her home. This morning I heard that story. We know Kavanaugh, the man, you know, gave up on his assassination attempt, thank God. And now Supreme Court Justice, and you point out Amy Coney Barrett, who is a devout Catholic, now having protesters outside of her home. Here's a little clip from ABC. Privacy for us, no peace for you. Hey, you know, the handmaid's got to go. Amy Coney Barrett, I think she's eight kids, doctor. I mean, I forget how many she has. She's a huge family. That's intimidating.
Adopted kids, yeah. It says right here, she sends seven of her kids to a people of praise school. And the thing that this group, Ruth Sent Us, and by the way, that's Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who ironically, all right, although she was pro-choice, tried to tell her fellow liberals what bad constitutional law Roe v. Wade was, right? I mean, this is part of the problem. You rest your case on a horribly argued law to legalize abortion, right? And then you expect it to hold from here to eternity. And this statement from Ruth Semmes, it says, voice your anger. It's got a picture of Amy Coney Barrett. It says, Thursdays, Falls Church, Virginia. Meet at 6:30 p.m. March at 7 p.m. Starting in front of Lemon Road Elementary School. They're giving out addresses of these Supreme Court justices, and no one in the liberal press will even talk about this. There's nothing on MSNBC or CNN about this.
I talked about this yesterday. I think it was the Media Research Center that did a piece on it, and ABC's Good Morning America, CBS's Morning Show, NBC's Today, they dedicated three times the amount of coverage to that hearing that hadn't even taken place yet. That January 6th hearing was going to be held hours later that night than they did on what should have been headline news across the country. A sitting Supreme Court justice was in the crosshairs of a would-be assassin. CBS spent 3 minutes and 3 seconds on the story. NBC spent, I think, 2 minutes, 45 seconds, and ABC even less. And then, of course, you know, the New York Times, they had buried that story. They had, a blurb on the very, very bottom of the front page. It was not even above the fold. And again, USA Today, you can go through all of these different stories. They buried the story. I share something else. This comes from Fox. Representative Daryl Issa from California sat down with Fox yesterday, shared thoughts about the need to protect these Supreme Court justices. I say they're not going to get protection when these stories are buried like this. That's a serious story. The Supreme Court justices are being harassed right now when the media doesn't give it coverage. You know, people who don't watch, let's say, Fox or some other conservative network, they're never going to hear half this. Listen to this clip.
Nancy Pelosi held her weekly press conference today. On the way out, she was asked about why this bill hasn't passed in the House. Here's what she said.
You said the justices are protected, but there was an attempt on Justice Kavanaugh's life.
It's protected. The justices are protected. This issue is not about the justices. It's about staff and the rest. The justices are protected. You saw the Attorney General even double down on that.
So she's saying the justices are protected. Her concern is for clerks, for staff members at the Supreme Court. She's not going to move this bill unless there's more money in it for protection for them. What do you say to that?
It's disingenuous, which is how we say she's lying in Washington. First of all, if she wanted to move the bill that she says is an alternative, then move it. She didn't bring it up this week. She could have done so, certainly spent time on other things. Those protesters outside of Justice Kavanaugh's house, they're violating the law, and this attorney general is not willing to enforce those laws, made no effort to do so. So talk is cheap. The actions speak for themselves. For more than a month, her not being willing to bring anything up, her not even being willing to consider, well, why not at least start with what 100-0 the Senate passed? This should not be controversial, and it is about the homes and the families of the justices. Yes, the justices are covered when they're sitting in the courtroom, but what about when someone knocks on the door and they're not there? What about their family? What about their children when the attacks are clearly real and present as we speak?
It passed 100-0 unanimously there in the Senate. You know, we can send $40 billion in a very short period of time to Ukraine for a battle overseas, and yet we can't protect our own sitting Supreme Court justices. Doctor, your thoughts on that? I don't know why Nancy. I mean, this to me is a no-brainer. I can't get my head around it. I always try to see what the other side is. I don't understand why they have a problem with this.
Yeah, and Brett Kavanaugh could have been killed yesterday. He could have been killed yesterday. In fact, that was the actual intention. And when you have rhetoric like, you know, they're trying to connect Donald Trump's rhetoric at the Steele, the Stop the Steele rally, to what happened on January 6th. There's a piece up, A Real Clear Politics, today. It's a reprint of a piece from Slate, where the liberal Slate writer is raging at people that are criticizing Charlie Schumer. Right? Yeah, the bad people are the people that are pointing out that Schumer said things like, we're coming for you, and then they come for these justices. And people listening right now, liberal Catholics who are listening, put aside your politics for a second. Imagine being Amy Coney Barrett. You've got this nice life in South Bend, Indiana, Notre Dame law professor. You're coming to D.C. to accept this job as a Supreme Court justice. You have all these kids. You've adopted kids from Haiti, right? And your life is never, ever going to be the same. You can't take your kids to school. Your kids can't go to school without armed security. You're not going to be able to go to daily mass without a SWAT team with you. All right. You're not going to be able to go to church on Sundays without security. Right. Your kids all the time are going to have security because groups like Ruth Sent Us are running around harassing you. This is terrible. And then on a dime, the liberal media, Drew, expects me and you and everybody else to ignore all of this and turn on CNN on Thursday night to watch the January 6th committee hearings, right? And like sheep, you know, just go along with whatever they're covering and say, the January 6th, so bad, and just ignore all this other stuff, right? It's outrageous. And then when people like us tune it out and say, we don't want any of it, then we're portrayed as the bad guys, the partisans. Right. I want nothing to do with their spectacle. And Lynn Cheney, I'll tell you what, Lynn, who I like, by the way, I've always liked her. I've always respected her. Why don't you run for president in 2024 on the Republican ticket? Get the nomination and then see how quickly the liberal media, for whom right now you are their poster girl and darling, turn you into some evil woman. You know, just Lizzie Borden, they'll turn you into, right? I mean, they'll turn on her on a dime, just like they did on John McCain. He used to be the favorite Republican until he ran for president, right? Then he was a racist.
Yeah, right.
This is what they do. I'm so sick of it. It just disgusts me.
Yeah. My guest today is Dr. Paul Kengor. You can join us too. I know several of you have been waiting to get on the air with me. I'll go to the phones when we come back. I'm grateful for your patience, of course. If you want to get in, the number's 888-914-9149. We're giving you an overview, just taking a look at what's unfolding in the country today. Yesterday, of course, huge January 6th hearings, extremely well produced, highly edited. Are they going to be effective? What's the message that's being communicated? How are the American people responding to it? Love to get your take. Feel free to sound off as well. Our conversation with Dr. Kengor will continue right after this.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
If you don't live what you believe, you'll end up believing what you live. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. I'm speaking today with one of my favorite guests, Dr. Paul Kengor. And we are looking at everything from the January 6th hearings last night to a huge story that has been relatively muted, and that shouldn't surprise us anymore, by major publications in this country as well as the networks. And that was the assassination attempt on a sitting Supreme Court Justice, Justice Kavanaugh. Of course, now protests are taking place outside of the home of Justice Barrett. I saw a stunning poll. I'll share this with you, and then we'll grab your phone calls. It found that almost half of male Democrats under the age of 50, now listen to this, they said it was acceptable to assassinate political opponents. I don't know about you. I cannot get my head around that number. Half of male Democrats under the age of 50 said that it was acceptable to assassinate a political opponent. I love to know what metrics they use, because that's one out of two. 44% of younger Democratic men surveyed, this was the Southern Poverty Law Center, approved of assassinating a politician who is harming the country or our democracy. And this was the highest rate of any gender, party, age, or combination, the article says. And I'll share one more stat here. It says a narrow majority of Democratic men under 50 said they disapprove of that statement. A small share said that they don't know. And that poll was released just about a week ago or two, June 1st. And by comparison, 34% of younger Republican men approved of the statement, which is, to me, that's one out of three. That's still ridiculous. 44% of younger Republican women, along with 32% of younger Democratic women, according to the poll as well. So, Doctor, I saw that. It comes from a credible source. What do you make of that very quickly? Then we'll jump into the phones, but to me, that is a very disturbing stat, to think that it's acceptable to assassinate somebody.
I'm not surprised, Drew. And look, I saw this coming. When people compared the January 6th, and I'll call them goons, Neanderthals, and lots of other names, when people started comparing them to Al-Qaeda, okay, to 9/11 terrorists, to ISIS, to the Japanese kamikazes of World War II, to the Nazis of Kristallnacht, okay, and people on the left just kind of walked along and went, oh, yeah, just like the Nazis, just like Al-Qaeda, right? When you can whip your people up into that kind of emotional frenzy where you can demonize the other side that successfully and so easily, well, it's only a matter of time before people on the other side think, you know, throw them in jail for life, right? Treat them like you would a terrorist. Treat them like you would the Nazi or Japanese enemy during World War II. Treat them like you would treat the 9/11 hijackers. Treat them like you would treat Osama bin Laden. How do you expect people to react? And this is why this kind of rhetoric that the other side engages in is dangerous. And people on the left want to, you know, wink, wink, and, you know, wow, this is, you know, to hurt Trump or whatever else. You've got to pull it back. You've got to cool it down. You can't engage in an outrageous hyperbole like this, it's going to have a terrible counter effect.
Right.
And it's also going to have the effect when people like Charlie Schumer say, we're coming for you, don't be surprised when some crazy guy from California comes for Brett Kavanaugh to assassinate him. And then don't be surprised, too, unfortunately, when the entirety of the liberal media ignores it.
Yep. Let's do this. We'll grab a few calls. Mary's been holding forever. Mary, thanks for waiting so long. You're on the air with Dr. Kengor.
Hi. Well, thank you, Drew, for taking my call. You're awesome. And, Doctor, I'm feeling my blood, you know, rush with the way you talk because I feel so much the same way.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to figure out what to say first. Speaking of Nazis, my aunt, my mom's brother, married a woman from Germany. He met her while he was in the service. She was 8 years old when her father had already been forced into the German army. And then they took her mother from her to be a plane spotter. And so my aunt was in an apartment being raised by the neighbors. So that's the kind of thing that you can expect in a situation like that. I think our country has turned so vicious, so mean, hateful. I'm a Cubs fan. I watched what happened to the guy trying to catch the ball in 2003.
Oh, yeah.
And his whole life was ruined over reaching up for a foul ball. So it tells you how extreme people have gotten, how hateful. And all I can say is I cling to our church. We're Catholic, Our Lady of Mercy in Aurora, Illinois. And I cling to the church and the people there because there's so many good people. The other part was about the difference between the January 6th situation and watching them burn down the courthouse, if I'm not mistaken, in Minneapolis, and the Seattle takeover of the city, killing people, and nothing about that. So my last suggestion would be to everybody, contact these jerky news outlets. Sure. Call them. Say, why are you ignoring this? I call fairly often to say, what about this? What about that? They will politely take your comments and supposedly pass them on. I don't know if they really do. But people need to speak up is how I feel. People need to make it known that this is ridiculous and, you know, they shouldn't stand for it.
Mary, thanks for your call. And thanks for your patience, too. And, Doctor, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, Scott Walker, I talked to recently, the former governor of Wisconsin, and he told me, Drew, about how they occupied the state house in Wisconsin for months. And the liberal media thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
He told me about how people went up and harassed his parents, his elderly parents, when they went out to dinner. Rand Paul got beat up in his front yard. I'm going to hear Steve Scalise speak next week in Washington. Steve Scalise was almost murdered, right, by a guy who went and shot up a softball field. And this is ironic. I heard Mary say accidentally June 6th, and then she corrected herself and said January 6th. And it reminded me, speaking of June 6th and the Nazis, June 6th, 1944 was D-Day. And that was earlier this week. And I don't know if you saw this, Drew, but Joe Biden, President Biden, did not acknowledge D-Day until about 8:45 p.m. on June 6th. Apparently, somebody got to him and said, Mr. President, your D-Day has passed. We've had no acknowledgement of this. They got it out. But these guys have not missed anything for Pride Month.
Yep.
In the Biden administration. They are flying the gay pride rainbow flag outside the U.S. Embassy at the Vatican and all over the world, right? They've missed nothing on Pride Month, nothing on Pride Month, but they almost missed D-Day, of all things. And you know, that's where their priority is. And our Catholic president, too, is going to be really, really dedicated, as he put it, to throwing the entirety of the federal government to making sure the Roe v. Wade is not overturned.
Horrible. Hey, Mary, thank you for your call, for your comments. Joanna is listening in Highland, New York. Joanna, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I love your show.
Thanks.
It's excellent. I listen most of the time. I'm a busy mom of three. So
when
I get it in, I do try to listen.
That's great.
But I just wanted to say that as far as all the news outlets go, first and foremost, I identify my life and I live my life by my Catholic faith.
Amen.
I don't always like to affiliate with a political party, though I do lean more Republican conservative, because they have some of the principles and morality and ethics issues that the Catholic Church abides by. However, when I watch the news, I avoid most of the, quote, more liberal media outlets because I don't usually get the truth. So I do tend to watch Fox News more. I have their news app. I read their news articles. Mm-hmm. However, I see even in them some very issues that I take up with them as far as sometimes I feel like they're almost as petty as CNN is in a different way. And I also see on their news app that they're totally in support of Pride Month. And which really sends out a mixed message because a lot of their news articles are about kids and not pushing the LGBTQ agenda on them. And so how can you also support Pride Month when all of this stuff is pushed on children and you're so-called against it? So where do you really get the facts, you know?
That's such a great – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stop you there. Go ahead, Joanne. I'll give you your final thought.
Okay.
No, go ahead. I'll let you finish that thought.
Well, that's really essentially my question is how in this day and age do you really get the facts? Because I don't really trust everything.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, it's a great point and a great call. And Doctor, let's talk about this because she's right. I mean, look, Fox News, yeah, they may have more conservative values than, let's say, MSNBC or CNN for sure. And you're certainly going to get partisan coverage. And you get the same thing on Fox. This will probably irritate some people that are listening, but there are times where they beat the same horse over and over and over again with the same particular mantra. I've often said on this show, I try to, and I check out multiplicity of different news sources, from international news to stuff that's happening in this country to liberal to conservative, to try to get the most objective perspective on what's happening, or at least knowing what other people are talking about, and then filter it through the lens of my faith. And I happen to be Catholic, so that's the moral lens that I use. But it is a frustrating, unless people are listening to relevant radio or they're finding some sort of more balanced news outlet, the big ones do tend to tilt one way or the other. But the ratings are also very telling. I mean, if you look at the more liberal networks, their viewership is way, way down compared to some of those conservatives. As for the Fox, you know, getting behind Pride Month, I didn't know that they did that. But I would think, you know, there's probably a number of producers and people behind the scenes that maybe live in that lifestyle and, you know, they wanted to push that agenda forth. But your thoughts on it, Doctor?
Yeah, Fox is pretty liberal on a lot of the LGBT stuff. And look, I tell people all the time, the only thing you can really do to try to be informed is you got to check like a dozen different sources. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And every morning I check CNN.com and FoxNews.com. I don't read the New York Times because it is so dishonest. So dishonest, and has become so radicalized and so poisonous in its ideology that I can't take it. I can't take it. Every article, you're just screaming at it because of what they're not including, you know, what they're leaving out, the omissions, their sins of omission. I can't take it. So there's certain ones that I don't even go to, but I feel like if I'm going to check Fox every day, I should check CNN every day, right? To be honest with myself about it. And I mentioned, I'll give a plug again for Real Clear Politics, which is very, very good. If you go there right now, people will see. They list like 30 different op-ed articles, and there's no one, Drew, no one else in the media that does this. The first article will be liberal, the next will be conservative, then liberal, then conservative. They stack them one right after another. A liberal source could never do that. They don't have the intellectual honesty to do that. Right? They go, we're not biased. Right? But the Real Clear Politics does a beautiful job, and I would tell people, too, listen to Relevant Radio. And you guys do a great job, and you're coming from a Catholic perspective, but you have to read more than one source, and some of them you have to suffer through. If you're just watching CNN and MSNBC, you're going to be brainwashed in that direction.
It's so true. And you know, even international platforms, Sky News, BBC, things along those lines that you may watch. You also, I share the same experience. Sometimes I watch some of these other programs. I just want to jump through the screen. I often say to my wife, thank God I have a microphone. You know, I feel so powerless, so emasculated. You know, what can you do when you see this garbage that's sometimes being spewed, the misinformation? I just want to shout. But thank God I can at least communicate with people like you and some like-minded people. I got to take a short break, Doctor. Stay with me. When we come back, we'll jump back in the phones, grab a few more calls. I have the best listeners, that's for sure. Intelligent, well-informed, ask great questions and offer great insights. It's great to be with you. In about 15 minutes, we'll also pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So I'm looking forward to doing that with you as well. But our conversation with Dr. Paul Kengor continues. Grab a pen and paper. I'll tell you how to get a hold of his books and check out his writing. All that straight ahead. We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, coming up live.
That's right. Live and interactive, just about 10 minutes away, 15 minutes away. Love to pray with you. If you need a little extra prayer, feel free to join us. Maybe call somebody who is in a desperate time right now. Have them tune into the station you're listening to or online or on the mobile app. Lots of great ways we can connect. And I often hear from people from South Africa, from Germany, from Italy, from Ireland, from Britain, from Asia, all over. It's always good to know that we're one family here. If you are just tuning in, Dr. Paul Kengor joins me today, a brilliant professor of political science at Grove City College. And if you want to follow him or check out his writing, he writes for the American Spectator. You can check them out at spectator.org or check out this web domain. It's faithandfreedom.com. That's the Grove City College Institute for Faith and Freedom. Of course, he's got a bunch of books, a lot of great ones. His latest, The Devil and Karl Marx. Doctor, it's good to have you back. Let's jump right into the phones as we know time will tick and go by very quickly. Dora Main, Mary, good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Can you hear me?
We can. Great to have you.
Okay. My comment is, number one, first of all, thank you for having the Divine Mercy Chaplet, because after you listen to what's going on in the world, it's really important to make sure that we focus on praying.
Because so true.
It is not
so true.
My concern is I'm a student of history, and I look at what's going on, and it started right after the election. What started before it, where they didn't even entertain any investigation into any of the inconsistencies, or there was this mantra, baseless claims, and it just went from there. And it just seems to me like, how can we have a republic and not have, you know, informed citizens? And the other thing is, on the other side of it, I'm out in the world and I'm interacting with all kinds of people, and they're Republicans, they're Democrats, they're liberals, they're all different, you know, stripes. And nobody trusts the media. Nobody trusts it. Nobody trusts this administration. It, to me, feels like something has taken over and it is just power driving along, and I don't know how to stop it. It's just so crazy. So those are my concerns. It's like, how do we as citizens, you know, this is not sustainable. We can't have this propaganda or now this new office of disinformation. It's just like, who decides? Who decides what truth is? Nobody is talking about this.
Yeah, it's very, very frustrating, and I'm sorry to say it's going to get worse. This is going to be a really nasty summer, and, you know, we had the summer of 2020 was all about BLM riots, and I think the summer of 2022 is going to be about abortion riots. It's going to be really, really ugly, and the irony of a lot of it is that some of these women that are protesting abortion, you know, here we are now almost 50 years after Roe v. Wade, you know, 60 to 70 million abortions in the United States. frankly, most abortions hereafter are probably not even going to be done in abortion clinics. They're probably going to be done as chemical abortions with pills that you pop into your mouth. So in a way, you know, they got the row they needed for 50 years. They don't even need it so much anymore. And by the way, for the women who do need to go into an abortion clinic, states run by governors like lifelong Catholic Kathy Hochul of New York, who succeeded lifelong Catholic Andrew Cuomo, lifelong Catholic Gavin Newsom in California, have already told the women of America, you're from Texas or wherever, we don't care. Come to New York. Come to California. Not only will we give you an abortion in our state, we'll pay for your transportation to come here. We'll drive you to the clinic. So it's all, you know, a lot of screaming and wailing about nothing. They're going to get their abortions anyway. But they're going to set the streets on fire this summer in their anger and rage. It's satanic is what it really is.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more, Doctor. The very heart of this is something very dark and evil. And that's why you see, why you saw the Dobbs leak. I knew that, you know, there was going to be something that had a break. And now we see all this protesting. And when it's over, look, abortion's not going to go away for a while. The battle's going to continue. I wonder how bad it will get. Do you think it's going to be as bad as the riots of George Floyd, where cities burned, police cars were set on fire, and the streets were filled by people vandalizing and destroying and murdering? I don't know if it's going to be that bad. Do you?
I don't know. It's a good question if it'll be that bad. I guess I did just say it'll be like the summer of 2020. I mean, it will remind me of that, but with a different issue.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a whole deeper question. We could probably do an hour on this.
We should.
You know, a lot of these young women, Drew, that I'm seeing on the pro-choice side, I'll tell you, something has flipped. There is a rage and anger there. I don't know if you saw the clip yesterday. It was probably at the Fox News website. CNN wouldn't have reported this. But a feminist tried to go over to the motorcade of Joe Biden, and she was an abortion protester, and she got tackled by a Secret Service guy who really decked her. And while she's on the ground, she's on the ground. She's yelling at him, "Get the F off me!" You know, and all these different names. Some of these young women today are, I've just never seen women like this. The femininity is gone. There is a rage. There is an anger that's seething and just dripping. And they are very discontented. And I don't know. I mean, it's hard to imagine protests as violent as in the summer of 2020. But the abortion issue brings out the hellacious.
You're not kidding.
In people. There's something really diabolical about it.
Yeah, no, it's not going to end well. I think there's certainly going to, I'm sure there's plans already underway for when that decision is released, and it will happen in a matter of days now. And I think it's going to certainly happen probably the last day of the Supreme Court session, but you never know, and we'll see what unfolds right after that. Dave in Texas, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for accepting my call. I'm a retired military officer, and you know, I've traveled all over the world and seen all kinds of things. The evil that has taken over our nation is something that we've never seen before, and particularly the tyranny in our politics. It's getting people, it's inciting people. It's getting people to the point where, you know, how many times are you going to poke the bear before the bear is going to strike at you? And right now, my opinion, obviously, we have probably a great mix of people who, left alone, are conservative. They want to raise their family. They're going to want to feed their family.
Right.
But now they're, when it comes to their home, somebody is going to strike back. And it's going to happen in the suburbs, and it's going to happen all over the nation if we don't pray one, ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, and two, vote these people out of office, because we are reaching a point of tyranny, of reaching a point of no return, critical mass. Yeah. That's obviously my opinion, and
yeah.
Well, I don't know what the doctor has to say about that.
Right.
Yeah, I think we have reached a point of no return. You know, I've said all along, I think the culture's gone completely to hell in a handbasket. And, you know, let me say, as a Catholic, I believe in faith, hope, and charity. G.K. Chesterton said that hope is about having hope when things seem hopeless, right? And so we strive to be hopeful. But how can you be hopeful when you look around and see this? And let me add, too, that you can be hopeful and have your hope rewarded in a country and culture of Christendom. But as the late Bishop Fulton Sheen was saying in the 1970s, right, we had already entered a post-Christendom America. And you know, our churches are dwindling. People haven't gone back into the pews since COVID. You know, the largest grouping in America now are the nuns, N-O-N-E. You know, I've got people in my little town of Grove City. Our kids just went to a festival in town, and somebody was dealing tarot cards. We're seeing this kind of another town, a couple towns down, maybe about 10 or 15 miles, they've got a witch's store. You know, you're seeing witches now. You're seeing all kinds of pagan activity everywhere. We just held a conference at Grove City College. The nastiest email we got was from a female alum who said that she hopes that, quote, our entire blanking conference burns to the blanking ground. Right? And she was all about abortion and LGBT sexual cultural stuff.
Doctor, I got to hold it right there. My gratitude for you and for your eloquence and for your contribution today. We're going to pray the chapel. I'll remember you when I return.